Hi there. Welcome to the PSA Pod. I'm Candace Aragon. On episode 4, I get to sit down with Jack Hall. Jack is co-owner of LEOTA. LEOTA stands for Law Enforcement Officer Technology Training Associates. He has nearly 20 years of experience delivering technological training to law enforcement, and his company LEOTA specializes in interactive, technology-based training for law enforcement and public safety. We have a really interesting discussion about cybersecurity and the attacks that continue to dominate our news cycles. Jack has some really great advice about cyber, and overall, it's just an interesting one to listen to. I hope that you enjoy it. As usual, if you have suggestions for a guest or a topic idea that you'd like us to cover, please email us at marketing@psasecurity.com. Thanks. Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Jack.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Let's start by getting a little bit of background about what it is that you do at LEOTA.
Well, I'm actually the Vice President of Training for LEOTA. We've been around since 2012. We are a public safety training agency that specializes in local, state, and federal law enforcement high technology training. And what that means is that we take applicable technologies and combine them with the appropriate legal responses and legal parameters of what law enforcement can operate within, what they can do, and how technology can be used best to further a case successfully and also preserve the civil rights of citizens, in which could be the targets of those investigations.
Wow, that sounds like some heavy work. I'm sure that keeps you very busy.
It certainly does.
So I know what we've been talking about a lot at PSA is cybersecurity. We've launched our MSSP program, and there's a lot of cyber considerations really within a managed services model. And obviously we see it in the news so often. There's, you know, been these cyber attacks on municipalities, universities, big corporations. So what kind of cyber threats are you coming across in your work?
Well, specifically, you hit the public sector, especially when it comes to law enforcement, public safety, municipal and county government. That's our bread and butter of who we deal with from a training aspect. And in dealing with them on the training aspect over the course of the last several years, we train specifically, which is an application called the FBI's Criminal Justice Information System. The acronym for that is CJIS, C-J-I-S. And that's the security policy, which governs specifically how law enforcement or anybody dealing with a law enforcement database system is supposed to be governing the physical and electronic logical security of their networks. So with that in mind, over the course of the last several years, especially really it hit heavy in 2016, were the email attacks that were coming in for asking for ransomware, and a lot of mistakes were being made with a lot of our clients and government agencies who became our clients, in which their personnel were unfortunately being victims of social engineering, in which they would open up email attachments and allow this malicious code to come into their computer networks. And that code became known as ransomware due to the fact that the code would maliciously go through the computer network, tie up all their files, lock them down, encrypt them, and the only way to decrypt them is the government agency, the police department, the public safety agency would have to actually pay the anonymous hacker a certain amount of money. Many of our clients, sometimes it would only be a few hundred dollars that they would have to pay, and then it would go up to larger agencies after the insurance industry got involved in this, and when the hackers actually were aware that insurance policies were paying out on these ransomwares, the fines for opening up the encrypted data could go up to $15,000, $20,000.
Wow.
And in some cases, they would even ask for ridiculous amounts, like $1.5 million to unlock the data.
Wow. Is the goal to try to avoid having to pay the ransomware and to try to do workarounds? Really, how do you step in and assist in those instances?
Well, what happens in these situations is they find out that the FBI, who actually is the author of the CJIS security policy, their stand on it is that they would prefer to conduct an investigation and the local government entity not pay the ransom.
Right.
The issue with that is that it creates a whole new problem that a police department and an entire municipality, which one was Lake City, Florida, they ended up shutting the entire city down for weeks. No phone systems because of their IP phones were connected to their computer network, no email. Florida, or Lake City, Florida, was actually conducting business with old paper receipts, literally instead of sending email, running documents across town to other government offices, and it became such an inconvenience that it was costing the municipality so much more money that some of these towns end up actually paying the ransom.
Right.
And when we come in is that they bring us in initially to look at controls in regards to what their personnel should be doing in regards to complying with the CJIS security policy and not following subject to this social engineering hack, you know, that's going out on an email. And so then when we come in and we audit their computer networks and systems against the standards set by the FBI's CJIS security policy, we find a lot of times many issues of lack of controls in their networks, lack of security in their networks. And mainly what we're finding is in these particular situations is not only is there a hole in regards to what the employees should know from a social engineering standpoint being safe online, but a lot of times we get this mentality, especially with smaller government levels, they think that if the lights are still blinking on the equipment, that the equipment is still working and it's good forever.
Right.
And then we have an educational aspect that we have to tell police chiefs in the smaller departments that do not have a professional IT staff, that they don't have an information security team to help them, that equipment is a lot of times out of date. The firmware hasn't been able to have been updated for years, and their networks are highly susceptible to intrusion by hacking. And the other unfortunate part that we're finding out is we have assisted departments a lot lately in the purchase of particular equipment utilized by law enforcement, from body cameras to in-car dash cams to video management systems. And I know Wired Magazine did a study about a year ago, which they actually researched many of the body camera and in-dash camera manufacturers that were selling to law enforcement. And if I recall the article specifically, I'm not quite certain if they found one of the vendors, or possibly only one of the vendors, that was in compliance with being secure.
Wow.
So there are a lot of products out there on the market that when local government is trying to maintain a budget and trying to get the most bang for their buck, security a lot of time takes a backseat to them trying to fulfill the mission of what it is that they're doing. Video surveillance, street surveillance, camera surveillance. And so we find out a lot of times that these security issues are not taken seriously. And in addition to that, a lot of these departments and smaller governments do not have the budget to have a professional information security staff on board, or even a really qualified IT staff. In many cases that we find around the country, they will actually leave their entire IT infrastructure and the management of that up to basically the man or woman on the department who knows the most about IT.
Right.
Because maybe they had a computer, an Xbox gaming console, and have some interest in computers. That officer then becomes your department's chief security officer,
right,
who obviously doesn't have the qualifications that somebody that has the appropriate training does. And then you combine that level of lack of expertise, I should say, with a very well-crafted insurance policy. Those local governments become a ripe target for those that are trying to hack that information and exploit it.
Are you finding that more people are coming to you kind of after an attack happens, or are others trying to start being a little bit more proactive? I know there's that prevention of cyber attacks, or a lot of times they can't be prevented, but at least if you have a response plan in place, if an attack does happen, you can mitigate, you know, the risks a lot faster. Or are you finding that people are really still scurrying, and this is just after the fact, on the fly, when an attack happens, they're trying to respond and scramble, I guess?
Well, many of our assistance is with a entity that's scrambling. And a lot of times we can make suggestions when we step in to take a look at the actual hardware that they have in place. And fortunately, we do have the FBI CJIS security policy that we can look at, view that policy and say you are not in compliance with an actual federal law. And then that federal law is also parsed through their state controlling agencies too, usually like a state police, state highway patrol, some agency that's responsible for making sure that those policies are actually being carried out, that they're being followed, and that they are in compliance. And so a lot of times it's a matter of that they're scrambling, and then we come in and we do an assessment, or unfortunately the state or the federal government has done an assessment and has found out that their equipment is not even in compliance with the CJIS security policy, which then leads to us to be able to make some type of recommendations with appropriate hardware and software that we can make a suggestion, because they end up being in a position where they have to replace that equipment. And so if we're getting involved, we want to make sure that not only do they replace it with equipment that is safe and secure, and believe me, there's a lot of good items and good products that are on the market, but again, we're dealing with the man or woman who has limited computer training, formal security training for information technology networks, and they need products that they are going to be able to use, that are going to be friendly for them to figure out and easy for them to configure. And more importantly, in 24/7 operations like public safety, police departments, first responders, being able to provide them rapidly with information that can allow them to respond to any type of cyber threat or incident that they're going to face.
Right. I know one of the products that we have in our MSSP program is Raspberry's Monitor. I know that that's one that you have worked with. How can that help these agencies?
We absolutely love it, because one of our teaching models is that we actually engage in coursework. It's a three-day class that we teach on two different levels. One are for investigators and detectives that they may be having an investigation in which they have to put a small camera network together. And again, we're not dealing with people with degrees in information technology science. So our entire first day in class is introducing them to theory of setting up networks. We picked Raspberry to utilize in our course and classroom settings because what we found out was the graphic user interface is very friendly to those that are not very technologically savvy, but also very accommodating to those who are technologically savvy to be able to provide all the information that is needed for combating, monitoring, and also preventing any type of cyber threat that's coming into the network. And additionally, provides quick information that's available through their cloud interface. It can be sent to their mobile devices. And one of the other requirements which the state and federal governments require are, where's the actual evidence, the logging of the attacks or the intrusions right on the network that are being attempted? And they make that readily available and easily available that we've had, I'll never forget this, we had a chief deputy from a very large sheriff's office in Ohio that was at training. He was a nearly 40-year veteran of law enforcement. He was in the class just to be in the class to take a look at the new technology. He really didn't have any initial intention of learning how to set up a network. And they ended up purchasing the Raspberry product after class because he said it was so easy to use. And he said an old dog like him that could be able to understand the technology, be able to get reports, look at the graphics through the web interface. He was extremely impressed with that. And he says, if I can understand this, he goes, this is something that I can give to the sheriff. This is something that anybody in the department can understand. And he ended up calling his IT staff on break. And he said, I'm going to give you a link and have you guys look at this. And then they called him back after break and made a comment that this is an absolutely amazing product. And
right,
they had years of experience. And even though it was simple, they thought it was absolutely amazing for their deployment as well.
Right. It seems to me, and this is maybe my layman's perspective from the outside, but as we talk, I think a managed services model could be great for some of these agencies. As you mentioned, they don't necessarily have a pro on staff. It's kind of whoever shows the most acumen, right? So it would be great if they had a partner that they could find who can really help assist with some of these services. Are you finding that the departments who are really ahead of the curve and trying to be prepared are doing that and they're outsourcing to experts, or are they really trying to build the intelligence within their teams?
Well, they try to build the intelligence within the team, but one of the nice things I found with Raspberry and partnering with them on that is they will actually put a team together to help those agencies design and build their network. So they don't have to go out, spend money on expensive consultants or anything else to be able to put that together. And then other partners like Access Camera, Milestone Video Management Systems, things like that. They all partner very well together to assist the agency in designing that and then make the help available around the clock to those agencies to assist them in using it. And then in addition to that, what we've seen is once that video technology becomes so easy to use, now they start branching out to their community summer fairs by deploying mobile video environments, being able to record that. And some of the projects that we are involved with in the Midwest right now also include cities taking it to the next step. And a couple of them have passed ordinances, which state that if you are going to be a business operating in their town, that you have to make video available to law enforcement in right. times of either crisis, theft, or any other type of incident that has happened. And a managed services application like Raspberry has been very effective because they have been able to take disparate video systems from all over their town and be able to pull them into one application and securely be able to monitor that within the police department without violating the CJIS security policy or creating holes in their own network, which would make them vulnerable to some type of attack.
Right. It seems really important. I mean, we see in the news all the time some of these ongoing crimes or missing persons, things like that. They are piecing together so many different kinds of video, whether it's from somebody's Ring camera or, you know, a network security system. So it certainly seems like we have to have a good solution that's helped managing all of this.
And not only help managing, but one of the things that the public forgets about at the back end of it is that once a case is put together, you have to have a system that's securing the video because forensically, this video is going to have to be introduced as evidence in court at some point.
Right.
In time. And so you want to make sure, too, that you can demonstrate to defense counsel, your own prosecutor, et cetera, that you safely and securely stored this information because we're in the CSI culture now that juries think that crimes can be solved in 60 minutes. Juries expect law enforcement officers to take the stand, raise their right hand, and take an oath, but everything they say can and will be backed up by a video recording.
Right.
And so that video recording has to be demonstrated that it is an accurate depiction of what was initially saved on their servers, that that video was secure and it wasn't tampered with, because the integrity now of that entire criminal case comes down to the integrity of the managed system that it's actually sitting on and how that video is being secured.
Right. For our security integrators out there who are working with government agencies, what proactive steps would you recommend they take to help those end users who may be in some of these situations?
Well, the biggest step that they can take is familiarizing themselves with the FBI CJIS security policy, because all too many times, and a lot of what we're getting called into now to consult with integrators who are designing systems, they are competing with their fellow industrial integrators that are trying to get the same contract that they are to sell that system against who is going to be the lowest bidder. And a lot of times when government contracts are out there, it's not necessarily being the lowest bidder, but you can be the lowest and best bidder that is
right.
out there. And so what happens is that too many times we're competing against an inferior product, which looks like it's getting the job done initially, but it's not necessarily a safe and secure product for law enforcement to be using or for government to be using in any type of continuity of government or emergency situation. So the biggest thing that they can do is be familiar with, learn, or request consultation on how the CJIS security policy works so they can build those bid specifications around the security policy to make sure that the equipment that they're selling, the competition who they're competing with for that bid, is ensuring that the CJIS security policy is not only taken into consideration but is mandated by their end user government purchaser. And it is up to that end user government purchaser to ensure that whatever equipment and processes that they're purchasing, it must be secure. And so if they're familiar with those policies, they're utilizing the CJIS security policies, they're ensuring that their equipment and their processes are in compliant with that, they're well ahead of the curve, because there's not a lot of products out there that have the ability to do what Raspberry is doing, for example, to be able to make sure that they're complying with those security policies.
Right. Have you seen, is there like one horror story that takes the cake, whether it was how extensive the cyber attack was, or maybe just how disjointed the response was?
Well, the investigation is still going on, so I can't actually mention the client's name, but the horror story was is that the department was infiltrated through a video management system, and that was through a wireless system that the department employed that vehicles would pull into the back parking lot of the police department. The video would automatically feed into the server and be stored on the server and pulled off the vehicles when they pulled into the parking lot. That wireless network was exploited, and it wasn't a ransomware specifically, because the hackers came in and they actually stole all the video off the department server.
Wow.
And held it for ransom, and they were able to actually pull it through the wireless network for the in-car camera network. And so what happened was is that every single case that that department was dealing with came into question now, because once the video software was actually released back to the department, there was no way for that department to actually validate the integrity of all the video files that were returned. And so every single one of those video files came into question as if it could be used as evidence in the case or not, due to the fact is that the videos were exploited.
Wow, that's definitely very scary. I can see the predicament that would put that department in.
Yes. And unfortunately, not only the department, but the victims in those cases.
Right.
That the department represented as well.
Absolutely. I know in terms of ransomware, we have another product in our MSSP program called Rescue that is almost like an insurance service, where, you know, you would pay for in advance for this service, and then they can do data recovery. So whether, you know, it's a ransom, the drive is compromised in ransomware, it's destroyed, you send it to their lab, they, you know, extract your data, put it on a new drive and send it back to you. Is that something that people are utilizing, you're seeing in these kinds of ransomware-specific cases?
They are not utilizing a product like that nearly enough for what they should be using. And unfortunately, in today's budgets, and I shouldn't even say today's budgets, this has been going on for at least the 30 years that I've been involved in law enforcement. When cars have to be purchased, when raises have to be given, when benefits have to be paid, you know, to the actual people that are working, you have a chief of police that has to draw a balance between where do we spend the public's money. And unfortunately,
right,
products such as this don't come to the forefront until after it's already too late. And I wish more departments, since they are called departments of public safety, would take the safety of their own computer networks more seriously and put these types of products at the forefront when they're thinking about their actual capital purchases for the year.
I think we'll probably see it, right, coming out. It will be become more common, but you're right. It's definitely sometimes just too late by the time they learn about these services or think finally budget for it.
Yeah, and I think honestly what we're going to have happen sometime in the near future is either something like a state or federal security policy, such as the FBI CJIS security policy, is going to have to drive, you know, the mandate of something like that happening, or it may even take the insurance industry, who is paying out on these claims,
right,
that happen, to say that we will give you a break on your premium if you simply purchase these products to help mitigate these losses from happening in the first place.
Absolutely. I wonder if in certain instances that insurance agencies are going to revisit what they pay out on in these cases, if some of these attacks are preventable, essentially, if they'll continue their policy of paying as much as they have.
Well, I know there's always, if there's an area for exploitation, somebody will exploit it.
Right.
And then, of course, historically, that's what insurance companies have paid out. And I know there are only two underwriting carriers in the world that actually underwrite cyber policies. Many companies now sell those, you know, underwritten policies, that the premiums that are written on those. But insurance companies have to take a very effective look as to, you know, they're in the business to make a profit. And so they have to take a very strong look at mitigating those risks and what they're paying out for, or looking at what their clients of who they're underwriting are actually utilizing the appropriate equipment. And again, if you're a smart government, smart public safety agency, is if you're going to look at that type of policy, is show the agent, show underwriting the actual equipment, the policies, the software, and everything else that has been put in place, and demand a discount.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Well, you know, I really appreciate, I think this is a topic we could talk at length about, but just kind of giving us a glimpse into your world and all of, you know, the cybersecurity concerns that everybody is facing. It's, you know, it's not just our businesses, government, schools. It really is so widespread. So tell our listeners how they can get a hold of you if they would need your services.
They can reach out, finding us on Facebook for Leota, L-E-O-T-T-A on Facebook, and also going directly to our website, which is www.leota, L-E-O-T-T-A.co.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jack. I really appreciate your time today.
And thank you very much, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely.